This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
A pen today. If you have your communication card, your Connect card, you might want that out too. We're going to be a lot going on today, so we're glad that you're here. We're just going to jump right in. This is our series that we're calling Our Time to Build, and really specifically Values to Build On, because that's what really makes a difference is the values that we live by. Everybody has values, but values sometimes are unspoken. Sometimes you don't really think about your values. They're there because values are what really drives what you're about. They're who you are. It's why you say what you say. It's why you do what you do. It's why you get up and go when you have somewhere to go. And your values really express who you are as they're lived out in your life. Sometimes we may hold a value. We say we hold a value, but we don't live it, and so it's not really a value. But here at Bridges, in this series, we want to kind of spell out, here are our values as a church. This is what we see. This is what we want to be about and how we want to live. And so we've been working through those and catching you up. Just giving you a little review. The last 3 weeks, we've been working on the following values. We want to be a people here because the church is people, right? We all know that the church is not a building. That was a thing when they were translating the Bible. They used the German word for church, Kirche. Which was a building, and instead in English they should have picked a different word, which was the word for gathering or called out ones. And it's really the people are the church. And in our church, we want to have the following values. One, that we want to be a place that's welcoming. And I think that's something you're always working to get better at. God is always pushing us to get better at welcoming people, to be accepting of people, no matter who they are or where they're from or how different they may be from us. We want to continue to open our hearts. And God has to do that, right? He has to open our hearts more and more to be more and more accepting. Our next value we worked on the second week was the value of connecting or relationships, getting to know people, going a little further than just knowing our names, but really starting to dive in to build spiritual relationships where we're there for one another. We're bearing burdens. We're getting to pray for one another and knowing what's going on in their hearts. And then the last week we did really service. That's a value here at this church, that we all have a contribution to make. You are here for a reason. You have something to offer. You have something to give of yourself that God's placed in you. And that is expressed through service. And so we've worked through those. If you miss any of those, they're on our podcast and our website. It would be good to kind of dive into them so you know who we are. Today we're going to look at another value, and it's in John chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles there, we've been in John chapter 4 the whole time. But today we're going to go a little bit further, a little bit deeper in some verses we haven't covered yet. John chapter 4, in the beginning at least, is a story. And if you've been here, you know this story. It's a day in the life of Jesus that got stretched out to 2 or 3 days. And you know this is that Jesus and his followers were going from Jerusalem up into Galilee, and it said they had to go through Samaria, even though they didn't have to. It was like they were compelled to. The Holy Spirit was working in his life, obviously, and directing him and causing him to go. And so he felt like he had to go through. There was something God wanted him to do. And when they got to this village called Sychar, Jesus stopped at a well, and it said he was weary. He was tired. Something we could spend a whole message on, that Jesus got tired, just like you get tired. Is anybody tired today? Some of you guys look tired. Do you guys feel tired? Some of you, like the whole table up here. You guys stayed up too late, okay? I think right here. So it happens. But sometimes we're just tired, and Jesus was human. He's 100% man, 100% God, and he was just tired. So his disciples went on a food run, and they went into town. And while they were gone, Jesus had this encounter with a woman who needed to know God. And during their conversation, it kind of went all over the place, but eventually it came around to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. She knew enough of the Old Testament, she knew enough of the Jewish tradition that she knew that the Messiah would come, one who would come and change the world. And she got to this conclusion, she said, I get you now. And it was at that moment something changed, something happened. I want to pick it up there. If you got your Bibles, John chapter 4, 27 through 42, let's look at the rest of the story of what happened afterwards in this conversation. So I'm just going to read from the ESV. It's the one we have on the tables. If you have a different version, it's good to look at different versions and get a little different flavor for the story. But John chapter 4, 27 through 42. It says this, just then his disciples came back. And they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of town and were coming to him. And meanwhile, disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to him, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So disciples said to another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Did somebody else do this? And in verse 34, Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. And many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did, she said. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Before we move further, let's pray together. Father God, in your word, we are reminded that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and we are desperately in need of a Savior. As the darkness in our world just continues to press in, we're reminded that Jesus is the light that presses back in a greater way. As we read today, Father, as we talk today, speak to our hearts, teach us what it means to be on mission with Jesus, to share this Savior with others, and to realize the depths that we need a Savior in our own life. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I love this story. Again, it's our values all wrapped up into one story, kind of one encapsulation of everything that we want to talk about. That here is Jesus, he's interacting with this woman, and in it we see his heart for her. We understand a little bit better what he's about and why he's there. And this woman is very interesting. Of all the people in the whole world to have met the Messiah, she seems the most unlikely person. And yet this is the reason he's there. When the Holy Spirit directed Jesus to this village, I think it was just to meet with this woman on that particular day. Everybody in her town would have said, no way. You're the last one that God's going to reveal anything to, and yet she was the most likely because she was the most needy. She was the one that God could speak directly because she was ready. And then what does she do? She goes and she takes what she's learned about Jesus immediately to her village. She wanted them to know, even though she was an outcast, even though they had kind of cut her off, she wanted them to know about this Jesus, and they all came out. And that day, get this, that day, the eternal destiny of that village was changed. The eternal destiny of the people of that village was changed that day because of what she did. She went and brought them to Jesus. She was a person on mission. She went from being very far away from God to the person that brought everybody to God. And her mission is your mission. You have a mission. And there's no escaping it. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the mission of Jesus. And that's one of our values that we want to talk about. It's our fourth value. That we value mission and we value outreach as a church because we understand this, that we are just one beggar telling another beggar where to find spiritual life. And we carry that with us. Today, we want to talk about, want to look at something that's so huge that I need you to kind of wrap your head around this, that we need to have the heart of God for this. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, you want to know how God thinks about this? You want to know how God feels? It spells it out for us. Paul wrote Timothy and told him this. He said, this is good and is pleasing the sight of God our Savior, who desires what? All people to be saved. The heart of God is that for everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The person, if you go to work tomorrow, the person you're working with or the people you're working with, God's desire is for them to be saved. For those who have kids, God's desire is for them to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If you have a neighbor that gets on your nerves and you just don't like them. God's desire is for them to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If you don't yet know Jesus, you know what the desire is? His desire is for you to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That's his heart. If you ever doubt that, just go back to this verse, write it down, and remind yourself, God wants a personal relationship with me, and he wants a personal relationship with everyone in my life, no matter who they are, where they're from, what they've done, or where they're going in life. God desires for them to be saved, and that's the mission he's handing off to us today. We're going to talk about four steps that you and I can take to live a life on mission. They're on your outline so that we can join in God and what he's doing. So we're going to work through these today. We want you to take these and kind of go, this is where I am. This is where I am, and this is what I need to do. And so be writing this down, be thinking about it so we can live this mission. Number one, the first thing to do is this: cultivate a heart for those who need salvation. The very first thing is I actually have to have a heart for people who are far away from God. Some Christ followers want to be as far away as possible from people who don't know Jesus. They don't like the way they live. They don't like the way they speak. They don't like the way they do things. And they don't want to have anything to do with them. And that's the opposite of what God wants us to do. And we have to start with our own hearts. Do we have a heart for people who need salvation? Jesus was talking to his disciples in John chapter 4, verse 35, in what we just read. And he says, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. He says, look at the people around you and really see them. There's a couple of thoughts about this. One is that Jesus is in this village. He's looking out. It's kind of hilling. He can see the harvest. He can see the fields are ripe. And he says, look, it's time. Somebody's got to go out there and harvest. And that's the way it is here, right? You ever seen a field that wasn't harvested? I've seen cornfields that weren't harvested. What happens to them? They dry up. They get brittle and they just have to plow them under. It's no good. Jesus said there's a harvest out there. That's one view. The other view is this, that Jesus is standing there and she's already gone back to the village and he sees the villagers coming out and he says to the disciples, hey, come on, guys. Come here. Look at them. There's the harvest. That's why I'm here. It's why my Father brought me to this place. Here comes the harvest to us. Maybe they were wearing light clothes and they could just see the people moving. It says, that's why we are here today. Cultivate a heart for the lost. Greg Laurie is an evangelist. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a great evangelist. He's a writer and author. He says this about everybody you're ever going to encounter. He says this: everyone is lonely. Everyone is lonely or has periods of loneliness. Everybody feels that. Everyone is empty at some point in their life. There's a hole in their heart. Everyone is empty. Everyone is guilty. There's some point in our life where the Holy Spirit brings into our existence this feeling of guilt, conviction, or we've done something and we feel bad about it and we can't fix it, something in our past. Everyone feels guilty. And he said, everyone is afraid. And what are they afraid of? Any number of things, but at the heart, people are afraid of dying. At the heart, everyone is afraid to die. What happens next? If you ever deal with someone that doesn't believe in God, you know, love them, get to know them, cultivate a heart for them. But understand this, they don't really have a full understanding what happens after they're dying. They know it'll happen one day, as much as they try to forget it, but they don't have an answer. I think the lights go out, they may say. Or this may happen, or that may happen. They have to make up something. But everyone is afraid of dying at some level. Everyone is lonely. Everyone is empty. Everyone feels guilt. This woman, we don't know how she felt about dying. We're not told, but we do know that she feels some sort of shame over her background, some sort of guilt because she brings it up. We know that she's feeling lonely because her team is not there. Her village is not there. She's by herself. We know that she's feeling this empty loneliness in her life. We get that. Everyone you see is like that. You know, when you go to the airport, when you go through the scanner, you ever do that before and you get on the other side and you put your bags through? You ever looked at what they're seeing? You ever done that before? And they show the bags coming through and you can see everybody's stuff. You ever tried that before and you can see it? It's all outlined. Even though it's inside a bag, you can see what's in there from the monitor. What if there was a monitor that you could see inside people's hearts? Everybody's good at faking, right? We're pretty good at faking. We can put on a face for people. People we go to work with, they fake it sometimes. The people we go to school with, they fake it sometimes. What if you could look in their heart and really see the emptiness? What if you could look in their heart and see the loneliness? What if you could look in their heart and see the frustrations, the anger, the sadness? What if you could really see them the way that God sees them and know they need Jesus? This woman realized that Jesus was the answer. This living water he offers her is the answer for everything she's looking for. And if you know Jesus, you have that answer. You can offer it. Knowing someone's heart is huge. Before my mom passed away, she had a conversation with me that opened up my eyes to my own father. My own father passed away about 4 years ago. And my mom said there was a day where they talked and they shared. And my father told my mother that the day I left for California, when I left for California when I was 22, he said it was the saddest day of his life. I had no idea. When you're 22 like I was, all I was thinking about was leaving my hometown and going to California. I owned a Celica, and everything I owned went in the back of the Celica. That's how little I owned, okay? I had a bicycle on the back, so I guess technically it was not inside the Celica, but everything else was in there, and I was just ready to go. I was looking forward to this next stage in life, and I left home, and I never ever thought about how my dad felt about it. He never shared this with me, but he told my mom it was the saddest day of his life. I think for our Heavenly Father, the saddest day that he experiences is the day when people reject him. Second only to the day where people never hear about him. They never hear about him. No one shares the gospel with them. I live on High Cliffs Road. It's not too far from here. And for the last 2 months, our bridge has been out. There was really only one way into our neighborhood. It was over the bridge. They had to build us a road out the backside so we could leave, but the bridge was out and you could not cross over. Couldn't jump it, not in a car at least. Now some of you might try, but you're not supposed to jump it, right? The bridge was out. You and I have been called to be a bridge to other people. Otherwise they will be cut off. And we have a message. And it starts with building this heart for people that are far from God. Greg Laurie says this, he wrote this, he said, we should not see non-believers as enemies, we should see them as people that need Jesus. Jesus was a friend to sinners. He hung out with the people that no one else would hang out with. He rubbed elbows with people no one else would rub elbows with. This was his mission. He says, I love these people. I love them. And I want my people to love them too. It starts in our heart. Do we have a heart for non-believers? That's the first step. Number two, we need to pray for the mission to be accomplished. Pray for the mission to be accomplished. Prayer is huge in this. Prayer is the power that drives the mission, right? We know the information sometimes, but prayer is what drives it. To really pray to see people's lives change, to see the mission accomplished. There's another time in the Bible where Jesus was training some followers of his to go out. There were 72 of them. He said, I'm going to send you on a missions trip. And as they were getting ready to go out to share this good news, to let other people know, to accomplish the mission, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, he said to him, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. He said, look, there's people that need to know. I just don't have enough people to send them out. We're sending out 72. We need more than that. He says, pray for the God of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, send out more laborers. In other words, we need more people on mission. I think he was praying for us in the future, to be on this mission with him. We need to be praying for people that don't know Jesus. Who are the people in your family that you can be praying for? Who are the people that you work with that you can be praying for? Who are the people at your school you can be praying for that don't know this Jesus that we know? Be praying for them. Let them know about the Jesus that you know and be praying. We'll join with you on your card today. Maybe you just want to write on there some names. You may want to write some titles. You may want to write some initials and just say, please pray for so-and-so to have their hearts open for Christ. That'd be awesome. And then turn that in today. We're going to join you in prayer. The other thing I'm going to challenge you to do, and we're looking for 16 people to do this, okay? We already did this with First Service. We want more people. And this is what we're asking. We're forming a new initiative, a new team at Bridges. We need 16 people to do this. We're going to call it the 10-10-10 team, okay? And this is what we're asking. We're asking people to come in one Sunday a month in November and December. So you're going to do this twice, okay? When November starts, we're getting this going. We're going to ask you to come in 30 minutes before the service. So you'd come to first service, or you can come and do this and then go home and come back if you want. We have people that do that. So 30 minutes before service, get started. And we're going to ask you to do three things. First thing is take 10 minutes of prayer. We have people that are just going to walk around, pray over the tables, pray up here, pray for the instruments, pray around the communion tables, pray in the corners. You're going to be praying for the service, but you're also going to be praying for those people that you know that need to know Jesus. 10 minutes of prayer. Concentrated, missional prayer for the lost. And then after that, we're going to ask you to pray for 10. Then you're going to take 10 minutes and drink coffee. We know some of you can't stand it longer than that, but it'll be a time just to gather with people. Sit back by the table, get to know the rest of the people that are praying that day. Eat some food, drink some coffee. You can have water if you're not a coffee person, but just relax a little bit. And then the next 10 minutes, we just want you to walk around the room meeting people, greeting people. We want 16 people to do that. And we wanted to do it in November and December. We're going to see how it goes, and we're going to see about 2019. We want to be a praying church. And this is what I'm asking you. If you're willing to come do that, it'd be one Sunday in November and one Sunday in December. You pick the time, or let us put you in a rotation. All you do today is write on your communication card 10-10-10 team with your name and email. 10-10-10 team, your name and email. Turn it in. We'll have our prayer coordinator talk to you and find out which Sunday you're coming. She'll meet you here, and then you start praying. 10 minutes of prayer, 10 minutes of food and coffee, 10 minutes of greeting, and see what God does. I'm convinced that God answers this kind of prayer, and we're looking for people saying, I'll do it, I'll do it. Here's something to offer you guys. Saturday night at 6 p.m., if you can't come early service, Saturday night at 6, would you stop and pray for the lost? We're looking for people to do that too. We're not going to send you an email. Just put it in your phone at 6 o'clock next Saturday. Set the timer. Stop and pray for the lost. Saturdays at 6. As they prepare to go do whatever, that they'll have a heart for God. But let's be praying people to see their lives change. Would you do that? If you'll be part of the 10-10 team, again, just put it on your card. Turn it in the offering at the end of the service. We'll contact you and we'll begin that. Number three, after you pray, next step is be trained and equipped for the mission. Be trained and equipped for the mission. I talk to a lot of people and they go, I just don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I know how to share the gospel. I don't know if I can share my faith. I don't know how. Well, let's get trained and equipped for it. Jesus spent 3 years with his followers training and equipping them. They would watch him and they would do what he did. He taught them how to pray. They learned how to pray. He taught them how to help the poor. They helped the poor. He taught them how to help the sick. They helped the sick. He taught them what it meant to be on mission, and they learned from Jesus how to do it. For 3 years, they got trained and equipped. They were prepared, and then he sent them out on their own. Be trained and equipped for the mission. It says at John 4:27, at the beginning of what we read earlier, it says, disciples came back. And they marveled he was speaking with a woman, because that was unusual. They kind of like, why is he talking to this woman? They had never seen him do that before. And for a single guy to talk to a single woman in the middle of town, they said, this is unusual. And so they kind of took them back. He shouldn't be talking to her. But no one asked what he was talking about. Why not? Because they already knew. John chapter 3, he spent time talking to Nicodemus, a guy who was far away from God, and Jesus spent time just drawing him in and teaching them about who he was. They knew what Jesus was talking about. He was reaching her. He was on mission with her. When Jesus ran into Zacchaeus, remember Zacchaeus, the little guy up in the tree? Jesus was reaching out to him. When Matthew would have parties at his house, Jesus went and hung out with the non-believers. He had a magnet toward that. He could kind of sense, who is it that needs to know? Who is it I'm supposed to reach? And he was drawn to them. So they were surprised it was a woman. They hadn't seen that yet, but they weren't surprised what he was talking about. And he was just doing for them so they would know what to do next. They watched, and he did it. That's what it means to be trained for the mission, to be prepared for that. Today, as you came in, you should have gotten a brochure. It looks like this. Does everybody have this? I don't know if you have it. Go ahead and take a look at it and look at the inside. Because everybody's in process. Jesus' disciples were in process, meaning they weren't where they were supposed to be at the beginning, but over 3 years they were trained. here at Bridges, we understand that too. And we're looking at a process. We want you to understand what is the process that we're going through so you understand the church. This is a brochure that talks about disciple making. We want you to kind of everyone to look at this and go, where are you at this process? Everybody is somewhere on this sheet. And it moves from left to right. On the left is the word explore. Maybe that's you today. You're not sure about Jesus. You have questions. You haven't committed your life to him yet because you're just wondering who he is. And Jesus says to you, come and just see. Come and see. What we want to do is help people at the explore stage understand who Jesus is. And there's some books out there on the table that are designed for that. They're books to explain who Jesus is and how do you know it's real. Here's our deal. Just take the book. We have it there for you to receive it. Just take it. Or maybe you want to take it and read it through with someone. We will provide someone to read it through you and you can meet with them for lunches and just talk about it. That'd be a great way to get started. Or read it through the book of John and talk about that with someone. That's another thing to do. But here's the deal. If you are exploring and you're not sure, on your card today, write explore and your email address. I'll contact you. We're going to figure out what your questions are. We're going to tailor your journey for where you are. We're going to find the materials for where you are, and we're going to help you take that step. So if you're at the explore stage, that's awesome. That's exactly where this woman was. When she entered the story, she was fully on explore. Who is this guy? And within a matter of minutes, she came to know him as the Messiah. Step two is connect. That's where Jesus says, follow me. And that's a line in the sand, isn't it? She said, follow me. Make a decision. You've checked me out. You've heard who I'm about. Now will you make a decision? Connect. And you'll see there's several things to do and connect. Maybe you're on this stage. Number one step is to connect with Jesus on a personal relationship to give your life to him fully. And Jesus says what you do at that point is by faith you show the world through baptism that you are going to be my follower. That's what it means to connect with Jesus, to say my life belongs to him and I want him to my life. Maybe you're at that stage. After that stage, we ask you to consider connecting with the church. Our membership class is next month. We're going to ask you if you're ready to make that commitment to Jesus' church. This body of believers say, this is my home. This is my family. The next step after that is connect to a community, which is a life group. We talked about that. You can jump in any time because Jesus had a body around him, a small group. We think everybody should have a small group around them. And then the last one, connect to a calls through a ministry team. This is how we serve at Bridges, either once a month or every week. Depends on your ability and your availability. We just ask you to consider that. That's connecting. Connecting with Jesus and his body. Maybe you're at that stage. Maybe you've gotten part of the way in that and you want to take another step. Step three is grow. It's the next one. It says, grow, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. Jesus then began to train his followers in how to fish and how to share the gospel and how to help people do that. What happens in grow is you're going to be trained to lead a small group. So you're going to help other people on their journey. Or maybe you'll be trained to lead a ministry team. The third one on there is be disciple maker. That's the one that excites me the most right now. We've started these groups called D groups. They're groups of men and they're groups of women. They're small groups. You spend 6 months to a year being trained to share your faith and make disciples. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. That's fulfilling his mission. And then during that time, you'll get a chance to help lead the group and then you'll be ready to make your own groups. And we're excited about that. So maybe you're at the grow stage and want to take that step. If that's the step you're ready to take, on your card write grow and put your name and contact me how you want to do that. And the last one is multiply. Jesus says grow and bear fruit. Make other disciples. Help other people know Jesus. You'll either lead a D group at that time or you'll just be prepared when God brings someone into your world to share your faith. It's powerful stuff. It's world-changing stuff. It's life-changing stuff for someone. Where are you in that continuum? Ask yourself, ask God to help you take that next step. Part of what we're doing is we want everyone in this church to be prepared to share their faith. This woman went from step one, explore, all the way to step one, all the way to step four, which is multiply, within a matter of moments. She went from, I'm not sure about Jesus, to Jesus is the Messiah, to I'm going to go tell other people. That was awesome. Some of us, it takes a little bit longer, and we need training and equipping. There's a class that you can take. And I want to offer it to you. This is what we're going to be doing. We're looking for 20 people that are willing to be trained in how to share your faith. It's a class called Tell Someone. It's taught by Greg Laurie. It's free. It's an online course. It's 6 30-minute videos that you watch. You can watch one per week is what they suggest. Or you can do like I did. I did over 2 days. I was just like, I got to find more. I got to hear this more. It was so good. And it was so convicting and so powerful. I watched it over 2 days. You choose. But what you'll learn today in that class, and you just sign up for it. It's absolutely free. They don't bother you. You just go on there and you watch a video. You read a little bit. You answer some questions so you're ready. And then you take the next one, the next one, and the next one. And by the time you're done, you're ready to do the work of the mission. We're looking for 20 people at Bridges willing to do that between last service and this one. You can either go there directly. We gave you the contact information on the website. You just go there. You'll see it. Tell someone. Sign up there. Or if you'll let me know, I'll send you the link. No matter how you do it, will you just let me know you're doing it so we know we have 20 people that are ready to share the mission of Jesus Christ? Would you be one of those people? Would you help out on the mission? That would be great. At Bridges, we want to be on mission. My wife's favorite show is NCIS LA. I don't know, do you guys watch those shows? You know what I'm talking about? There's like three of them, right? Isn't there New Orleans? The regular one's not listed as anything but regular, right? Then we have LA, and they're all in sequence. Right now in our DVR, we have 73 hours of NCIS LA that she hasn't watched yet. And right now it's recording. She's getting 10 more today. She watches like 2 or 3 a week. That's all she can do. So we're going to be doing this for the next year. So if you like that show, you can come watch it with us. And the original show, NCIS, is the second longest running scripted, non-animated show in human history, okay? It's 15 years old, the original NCIS. Have you ever watched it? Do you know that NCIS, NCIS LA, and NCIS New Orleans are all basically the same show? You've watched it, right? What's the show? We got our team. Our team is hanging out at the base, NCIS LA. It's the one at the boathouse. It doesn't look like a base. And while they're sitting around doing something, somebody's died somewhere. You always see at the very beginning. And then the team gets the mission, right? Here's the mission. And what do? For the next hour, they hang out in the base, right? No, they don't hang out in the base. What a boring show that would be. They go out and they solve the mission. And every mission is what? Lives are at stake. National security is threatened. And if they don't do their job, people are going to die. Isn't that it? I mean, it's the same show every week. They figured out in year 4, the first one, this is why it's so successful. Year 4, they tried to do serial, like keep it over the whole season, and they couldn't do it. They said, this is our deal. We're going to solve the mission in an hour. Every now and then, they do it over 3 episodes, but no more than 3 episodes. We're going to solve it in an hour. Why? People want to see a mission accomplished. They want to see it happen. They want people saved. And this team works together, and they solve it. Here at Bridges, we want to be the same way, but in a real way. You're a team. Your job is to go out and save lives. It's mission critical. Lives are at stake. Spiritual security is at risk. And you've been called on a mission. One of the reasons we want to build a building and want to have that is we want it to be a home base where people, A, can be trained and equipped to go out on mission. And B, every week people can come and hear the gospel. They can hear about Jesus and they can be saved. It's not about giving us a comfortable place to meet. That'll be nice. It'll be about reaching this community for Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. To go out on mission and have ourselves ready to share Jesus. So that's number 3. Be prepared, be trained and equipped for mission. Number 4, the last step, and we'll wrap up with this one, fulfill your role in the mission. The last step is to fulfill your role in this mission. Fulfill your role. Jesus talked about sowers and reapers, right? What does a sower do? They spread seed out. They didn't till the land like we do. They did broadcast sowing. That means he just took the seeds and they had it in a bag and they just threw it over the ground. Not very efficient, but that's the way they did it. After 4 months, when it was time for the harvest, they went and reaped. They were reapers, sowers and reapers. There were two things. Paul came along and he added one to the list, and you can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. He says this, I planted the seed. A guy named Apollos, he watered it, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. In other words, our job is not to convince people. Our job is just to share the gospel. But he added one. He said basically there's three roles and there's no nothing. There's no nothing. There's no sitting on the sidelines. People don't go watch farmers put seed in the ground. They don't watch them harvest. He said, you've got some role in it. Here's the three roles that we all have. We get to choose. Sometimes we get to do all three. Number one role, you sow. What does that mean? You share the gospel. You share your story. This is what Jesus is doing in my life. You connect with somebody around you that has the same issues that you have, and you just say, can I just tell you what Jesus did to help me? That's all you do. That's sowing. That's sending the gospel out there. This is Jesus. Reaping is being able to pray with someone and share with them to accept Jesus. Not many people get to reap. I'm going to be honest with you. I think less than 5% of the world gets to reap. You talk to most people. How many of you have led someone to Christ? Not many people have done it. Jesus even told the disciples, said, look, you're reaping here and you didn't even sow. You should understand how privileged, what a privilege that is. At Bridges, we've had over 80 people baptized, people who did not know Jesus go the direction of fulfilling that in their life. I get to do most of them. I did not sow in most of their lives. Someone else did. I just got to reap. But most people don't get to do that. If you help someone come to Christ, we want you to baptize them. We want you to be part of that reaping because God used you. But we have sowing, sharing Jesus. We have reaping, being there to accept Christ. Most of you, most of us, fall into the water stage. What does that mean? You're going to do something to help someone know Jesus. Somebody else may plant it. Somebody else may reap it. But you're going to water. What does that mean? You're praying. That's watering. You're inviting people to church. That's watering. You're doing good things in the name of Jesus. That's watering. You have a block party to get to know people in your neighborhood. That's watering. You go into work and you're just kind to people, that's watering. As long as they know you're doing it in the name of Jesus, that's it. You're either sowing, you're reaping, or you're watering. Fulfill your role. Do what God's called you to do. Be part of that. Make it happen. In the class, if you're part of that class that Greg Laurie teaches, you're going to hear something that I heard that I had to sit on for a little bit. I'm going to share it with you. It's tough. I wasn't sure I agreed with it or not, but I do. This is what he said. He said, all roads lead to God. Now, I've heard that before, and I've heard it in different ways. I go, I don't think I agree with that, Greg Laurie. All roads lead to God, really? And then he followed up with this. He said, all roads lead to God, but not all roads to heaven. I go, I hear what you're saying now. All roads lead to God, but not all roads lead to heaven. What does he mean? He means that one day, everybody will stand before God, whether they believed or not, whether they were good people or not, whether they had different religion or not. One day they'll stand before God, and God's going to look at them. There's only one thing he wants to know. Did you know Jesus? Did you know Jesus? See, good people will not go to heaven. You can't be good enough. Only forgiven people go to heaven. All people will stand before God. Paul wrote, and he said that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody's going to do that. But then the test comes. Do you know Jesus? And the vast majority of people will not. Jesus described it as a narrow road and a wide road. That took me back a second. That's the reality. Jesus put it this way himself. He said in Mark chapter 16, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, meaning every living person. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's binary. You know what binary means? There's only two things. Only two things. The people who are baptized and saved. It says believe. That's what they really mean. There's you believe in your life, in your heart. You've committed yourself fully to Jesus. You'll be saved. for those who do not believe. They'll stand before God with all their sins exposed, and it's like they're condemned. That's a hard, hard thing, isn't it? Here's the good news, though. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good enough. You simply have to have given your life to Jesus, and he forgives your sins. He makes you right. He takes it upon himself. He already did that on the cross. All you have to do is say, Jesus, forgive me. I want you in my life. It's that simple. It's that simple. God's too much of a gentleman to force himself on anybody. They don't want God, he doesn't force himself. But there's kind of the two roads. When you hear that, you go, man, my friends, my family, co-workers, my neighbors, they're on a road, and it's leading to God. And they'll either answer, yes, I know Jesus, or they'll answer, no, I don't know him. And I might have a role in that. Was I willing to share with them the thing that would change their life forever? When Jesus was asked by his followers, you know, why aren't you eating? Do you want something to eat? He said in John chapter 4, verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work. He said, more important to me than eating is that I finish God's work. What's the work of God? What's the mission of God? It's sharing Jesus with people who need to know him. Here at Bridges, we kind of say being a follower of Jesus is three things. It's being devoted to Jesus. You'll see this at the bottom of your outline every week. It's people that just have given their lives to Jesus. I'll do whatever you ask me to do, Jesus. We're developing in Jesus. We're all in process. But this last one, we're all deployed by Jesus. We're on mission. Today, where are you? The very first, most important, absolutely deepest question you can ask yourself is, do I know with a shadow of a doubt that when I stand before God, my Father, that I will be able to say to him, I have your son in my life and he has forgiven my sins. It's the only way I can be standing here. Can you say that? Let's celebrate that. That's awesome. Maybe you still have questions. If you have questions, explore them. Find out. Know without a shadow of a doubt. Don't leave it in between. That's kind of our choices. The last thing is our choices. Are we going to be on mission for Jesus? I want to pray for us now, and I want us to kind of just delve into this hope that we have in Christ. A hope to be living for him and for him and with him for eternity and to be on mission with him here. So let's pray together. Father God, in my own power, I am absolutely weak. I have no strength. But with you, all things are possible. I thank you, Father, for this truth that Jesus spoke, that for all who believe, who have faith, who have committed their life to you, we are saved. For those who don't know you, who have rejected you, have walked away, Father, there is another path. I pray for those who may be here today that need to make that decision for Jesus. Maybe today is that day. I'd love for that to be true. I'm just going to take this step of faith. I have nothing to offer myself except for myself. And I just trust that Jesus will save me and that his blood covers my sins and I am forgiven and free and I will be able to spend eternity with Christ. Father, I pray for those people that may make that decision that today is the day that salvation comes into their life. I pray for those of us that know Christ. I pray for our hearts to be changed. For those around us who don't know Jesus, give us a heart for the lost, Father God. Give us a real sense of mission. Get us up and moving. Put people in our lives that need to know you. Change this church. Father God, change us so that we're more mission-minded, that we are looking out for our neighbors and our community around us, that they will know Jesus as well. That's all that really matters. This life is so short and so temporal, but what happens in eternity is everything. Father, give us a heart. Change us. Move us in our lives, Father God. A lot of choices to be made today, Father. May we make the ones that please you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.